Blog Talk Radio.
Big Dreams Radio. Big Dreams, Life After Massive Weight Loss, is a lifestyle realization TV show about people who have already conquered morbid obesity. Big Dreams challenges people from all walks of life who have already lost massive amounts of weight to identify and pursue their other big dreams with all the joys and struggles that it brings. No matter where you are on your own personal journey, Big Dreams offers hope, knowledge, and power to banish weight struggles, dream big, and attain their fullest potentials and become who you were meant to be, to quote Miss Oprah Winfrey. The radio show is a chance to interact with experts, share your stories, and create your own big dreams. Disclaimer, we are not doctors or experts in the field of nutrition or exercise. We cannot offer advice. What we do offer are inspirational stories of people sharing how they were able to accomplish their own weight loss goals, healthy lifestyles, and dream big. Join me, Steve Sir Dropalot Nikander, who has lost nearly 400 pounds myself through nutrition and fitness. My big dream is to inspire those, motivate, and encourage them to be the best they can be. Welcome.
Good evening, and welcome to Big Dreams Radio. It's Wednesday, November 9th, and we look forward to having our guest today. I'd like to stop at the top of the hour and tell you the call-in numbers. Our first call-in number is 347-989-1473. That is 347-989-1473. If you wish to call in and talk with our guest or maybe share a story or a message or whatever you'd like to have, please call in. And we also have a new call-in number, which is 877-907-7217. That's 877-907-7217. I'd also like to mention our social media sites. So right off the bat at the top of the hour, our Facebook page is Big Dreams TV. So if you'd like to go there, please go there and visit and like it. Check out, we post our videos, our webisodes there. You can also find us on Twitter at Big Dreams Reality. And we also have our YouTube page as well, Big Dreams Reality. And we'd like you to go there and check out our webisodes that we've been creating now for several months. This week's webisode that we posted on Monday happens to be one of a couple that we are working on recipe-related webisodes. And this was our first webisode regarding recipes, and it's a take on an old classic Thanksgiving recipe of the green bean casserole. And our guest tonight will be blogger from Choose Balance, blogger Carrie Quinlan, who joined us in that webisode. And it's one of her passions is to take recipes and kind of try to retool them, recreate them, and make them in a nice, healthy manner. So we'll be having her on later. And she'll be talking about that, as well as her own story to health and some other stuff we'd like to discuss with her, too. We continue on creating our webisodes every Monday. I still continue on trying to get to reach that 400-pound mark. I think I'm less than a dozen pounds away or so from that right now. So I'm just trying to get to that mark. Kind of my goal. I've been working on it now for just a little over 2 years, and of course I would be remiss if I didn't mention that nutrition plays a major role in helping me get there, as well as fitness too. But nutrition on the whole on the whole has really been one of the key factors that have helped me get to that point. I'd also like to mention that I am now working as a holistic health coach for Dr. Amen's Amen Solution website. So if you'd like to go there and check that out, you can go right to their amensolution.com website, and you actually can preview my transformation story right on their front homepage. It doesn't cost anything just to check that out. And I'd appreciate it if you go there and just give it a peruse because, quite frankly, Dr. Amen's methods and his book, Change Your Brain, Change Your Body, was instrumental in me having success that I have had so far. I think his book kind of changed my life. Thanks to my sister Sabrina for buying it for me in the beginning of my journey. And once I read it, it totally opened my eyes to the importance of nutrition and natural supplementation in getting myself better and being able to start actually healing myself towards better wellness and getting to a more healthy, healthful state. I had four chronic illnesses, including arthritis and obviously all the weight-related diseases and stuff as well. And through the nutrition, using nutritional healing, as I like to call it, actually, was instrumental in me starting to actually shed these pills. And one by one, I was able to get rid of type 2 diabetes, and all my other conditions started to reverse and actually even go away. It's been a revelation. It's a transformation. It's been life-changing for me. Now I went from living in North Carolina to up here in Massachusetts, here in the Worcester area, living, and here is the home of Big Dreams, too, as well. Like I mentioned at the top of the hour, we will be now joined by our guest, Carrie Quinlan, the blogger of Choose Balance. We ask you, please go check that out at www.choosebalance.com. She's got a great blog. Talks about not only her own journey, but she talks about all kinds of things, nutrition-related, exercise-related, other different things that that interest her in her own journey. So let's welcome her on. Welcome, Carrie. How are you doing tonight? Welcome to Big Dreams Radio.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for joining me tonight.
Thanks for having me. I hope that our connection lasts. I'm driving now, and I know sometimes I kind of lose it on the highway, but if that is the case, I will call right back.
Absolutely. Great. Great. So let's just start right from the top, and let's talk a little bit about your own journey and your revelation about nutrition and how you got started in this.
Sure. My whole life, I have struggled with weight. It was, you know, in my entire life at this point in time, I've managed to lose, I believe, 130 pounds. I'm only 25 years old, so it's really not, that's a lot of weight to lose in a 25-year span. So basically, it's always been a struggle, and I never was the kind of kid who wouldn't be eating cake, cookies, chips, all that stuff. Like, it was just, we didn't have it in my house. My mom was always trying to be, my mom and my dad were trying to be nutrition conscious and know that, you know, I had this to deal with and wanted to help me. And nothing ever seemed to work. I would always eat healthfully. We always ate dinner at home, which was one thing that I know I've read that, you know, studies say people who don't have family dinners tend to not really have good nutrition, whatever, but that was never the case with me. So it just kind of goes to show that everyone's health journey is their own journey. Like, everyone is different. So for me, you know, in high school, I lost 50 pounds, and I didn't really do it. I did it healthfully in that I would, you know, watch what I ate, and I had a personal trainer, and I was always active, and I exercise and everything, but I didn't really, like, know the food choices I was making and why I was making them. I just knew I was restricting what I was eating. Like, I could only eat, like, one granola bar in the morning and a glass of milk, have a small lunch, and then have a small portion for dinner. So it was kind of like I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have the resources that I have now. I mean, the internet alone is an amazing thing. So,
it sure is. You know, I would be remiss to not even mention that the internet is so instrumental in me having my transformation as well. It's one of the greatest things because, I mean, the information is basically out there for everyone to peruse and go through, and we'll get into that education part as we go along. But go ahead.
Yeah. So that was kind of like, I didn't really have that resource. I mean, it was available, the internet, but it wasn't as robust as it is now. So whatever, I lost all that weight. Then I managed to maintain it for a couple of years out of high school, and then I went to college, and everyone knows college, you know, your lifestyle dramatically changes. I was eating cafeteria food, didn't really know what I was eating, eating whenever I had the chance to between classes and going out with friends and I probably shouldn't say this, but drinking and, you know, all that stuff. So I gradually gained some weight, and then out of college, I gained another 20 pounds or so in my move back home, and a lot of that, you know, is circumstantial too. There's always reasons for your weight gains. Like I've read articles that say, you know, look at the patterns, try and find, like, why you're gaining weight, the different reasons why, and I have, like, I've reflected on this a lot in my life, and, you know, it's different things, like, either I'm depressed or, like, I'm going out with friends a lot, going out to dinner and socializing and not really caring because we're just going out to have, like, what we consider good food, you know, like buffalo wings and potato skins and all that junk, and then, oh, we have to get dessert, you know, it's like a, it's a social thing, and I'm a very social person, so I guess maybe my social appetite was a little too much. So then I've always had, you know, health-related random things. Like, it started to get really out of control about 2 years ago. I had really, really bad eczema, and I just, for the life of me, it would not go away. Like, I'd get these really awful patches, and they'd flare up sometimes, and I was just like, what is going on with my skin? I just felt like my body was rejecting itself. Like, I just didn't know, and I started to read more into what causes eczema from there, and I could see that a lot of it has to do with allergies and intolerances that you may not be aware of, and, you know, it's an immune response. It is your body rejecting itself. So with that research, and then also on top of just largely feeling awful, like, I was down on myself. I wasn't in a job that I liked. I was just out of college, like, what am I going to do? I hate my job. Like, I need to, you know, a lot of things contributed to I need to take control of myself and worry about me. And so that kind of, I mean, I went to the doctor and she drew my blood and checked my cholesterol and it was elevated. And I'm like, you know, I'm 22. That's a problem that needs to be fixed. And on top of that, like, it scares me because my whole life, when I was about 7 years old, I was told that I had a heart murmur, and they monitored it every single year. It was an actual physical thing in my heart. You could see in my aorta there was a tiny flap of tissue that was making this noise, and, you know, it was making my heart, the blood flow a little bit kind of, like, erratic in the area that it should have been just going in and out. So,
and you could physically feel that as well, huh?
I never had any symptoms. Some people who have heart murmurs, they do have, like, spluttering and stuff like that, but I never had any physical symptoms. So I was lucky in that it wasn't more serious. But I was told that as I age and my heart valves, you know, they get gunk in them from, you know, and you get older and your heart has to work harder, it could be a problem.
Right.
So that always was on the back of my mind. So I had all these motivating factors, like, I need to do this for myself. I need to know that at the very least, I'm doing my best to prove that my heart doesn't have to work harder when I'm older because I'm being healthy. And I just started reading, researching, like, everything I possibly can about health, nutrition, any article that I could find. And even if it said the same thing in the last article I read, I still read it again just to see if there was some other tidbit of information that I needed to get out of it. So from there, it was just like completely changing my diet. I went from having like large portions of grains and breads and starches and stuff like that to completely, actually I eliminated potatoes and I eliminated milk, partially because as I was talking about the eczema, it was kind of, I think I had a food intolerance too because my eczema completely is gone. I haven't had it in years. Aside from that, my heart murmur is now gone. That's a recent development. Don't know what that caused, like why it's gone, but I am led to believe from my own personal thing is that, I mean, it hasn't been heard for 2 years. Ironically, 2 years is how long I've been, you know, 80 pounds lighter. So it's like,
absolutely,
it just, it makes sense to me that it, you know, maybe it was an inflammation in my body from eating such poor food and a poor diet that my body was just like I said, rejecting it.
I would be almost convinced that nutrition definitely had a part in it. Definitely.
So after all those, like, trials and tribulations, I had all these epiphanies where I just started to pick up the pieces and take control of myself. And that's just all that I hope that I can inspire anyone else to do is research and pick up the pieces for yourself. Like, take control of your nutrition. And it's, you know, you are what you eat. Whatever you put in your body is what you eat, like what your body does with yourself. So if you're eating bad processed, like, I don't even want to call it food, but junk, you're going to look and feel like junk.
Yep. And so obviously fitness played a part in your weight loss as well. So what did you do in terms of fitness to actually help you get stronger, build muscle, get more leaner and all that as well?
Now, fitness was also like a catalyst in part in this, but when I first started my whole like weight loss thing, I lost about 30, 40 pounds or so without any exercise. Cause everything I read was like, you know, diet is very important, but you need the fitness cause you need the muscle. You need to build your muscle because part of weight loss is that you also lose lean muscle. So you need to make sure that you're maintaining the lean muscle as you're losing the weight. So once I dropped a lot of initial weight, I was like, okay, now I'm going to start toning up and taking care of the muscles. So I started the P90X routine, which is a series of 12 DVDs. I'm sure everyone has heard of it, with Tony Horton, and it is the greatest ever. Any beach body workout is probably amazing. I actually just purchased the 10-minute trainer, and that's also Tony Horton, and it's awesome. It kicked my butt.
Right, and that's, and it's a full-body exercise kind of program, isn't it?
Yeah, and they focus on a lot of, like, core synergistic movements, so it's, like, a lot of it has to do with you're not working just one muscle. It's, I guess the premise is muscle confusion, if you will, so basically you're consistently working out, like, all different muscles, and you can do it in your basement with, like, minimal space. You don't really even need that much equipment. I had, they suggest a chin-up bar, but I didn't even have one of those. I just used, like, small hand weights, and that got me enough to get by. I started the program in January. I couldn't do one push-up, and then, unfortunately, about a month or so into it, I was starting to feel physically fit, and I loved it. It was awesome. I dedicated 6 days a week to it. I was on the plan. I was going to do the full 90 days, and then I broke my ankle. So I was out of commission for a good 5 months. I couldn't walk for at least 4.5 of those months. And as soon as I got the go-ahead to continue working out again, I immediately started P90X, and I did it again as part of my my rehabilitation for my ankle too. And I really attribute, you know, the 90 days that I crushed it hard with P90X as part of the reason why my ankle was able to be rehabilitated so well.
And you're strengthening your ligaments and everything around it.
Yep. And it's important too, because P90X, you know, it's 12 DVDs. So there's a kickboxing, they call it Chempo. There's yoga, which was definitely very beneficial. There's cardio, there is arm strengthening, there's leg strengthening, there's core, which is like a workout based around, you know, for ab muscles. There's an ab DVD. There's something for everything. So, I mean, whether you purchase that program or not, it's up to you. But what is important is that you have to take an approach that's going to encompass all different kinds of workout strategies. You can't just go, I'm just going to weight train, or I'm just going to run on the elliptical or do this. You have to really, you know, do multiple different things to really get the full benefits of, you know, fitness.
So let's talk about the webisode, the Lean Mean Green Bean Casserole, and about your passion for taking like a regular recipe and reworking it into a more healthful way.
Well, this recipe I had been kind of hallucinating about for about a month or so, because I've been thinking about Thanksgiving and how, you know, in my changing of my diet and everything, my mom was totally on board with this because she's the person who does the main food shopping and cooking in the house, and she always was willing to help me, and I was like, and she actually had, as soon as, a couple months after I started changing my diet, she kind of took, you know, jumped on the bandwagon and did it like a whole revamp for everyone, so my mom was able to lose 40 pounds too, so it's not just like me who is looking at recipes in different ways. It's been a help and a collaboration with my mom. Like, honestly, she should just be a master chef because she's such a good cook. So
great.
I've been thinking about this green bean casserole, and I really love green beans. I'm obsessed with them. They have become my pasta, essentially. I actually just put meatballs and red sauce over them instead of pasta now. So I wanted to be able to enjoy green bean casserole.
Wow.
It's really good, actually. I would highly recommend it to anyone. It's way better than pasta. So I wanted to be able to enjoy them on Thanksgiving without the added stuff from the processed can of cream of mushroom soup and the fake onion ring things on top. So I was like, how can I get the flavor of the onions and the crunch and everything still in a healthy way? So basically, I just thought of what compromises what composes a casserole for green bean casserole, and how can I make a sauce that doesn't include cream, because I tend to steer away from like more dairy products. So I kind of talked it out with my mom, and she was like, why don't you cook down the onions and make it kind of like a French onion soup almost, but a little bit thicker. And I was like, genius. that's what we're going to do. So that's exactly what I did in my trial run, and it came out really good. And I actually have had several compliments from my boyfriend based on that, which he is not the healthy eater, I would say. He, you know, loves pizza and all that stuff. But if I can get him to eat something healthy and enjoy it, then I definitely will make it again and again. And even my brother actually commented and said that he wants that for Thanksgiving. So I'm pretty excited about that.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, it was really awesome. I mean, it was very, you know me, so I love anything that's helpful anyway. And then when you said it was Vidalia onions, that is like my favorite onion in the world is Vidalia. I mean, I'm from North Carolina, even though they actually originate from Georgia. But I know we always look forward to the new season when the new Vidalias come out, because they're just like the sweetest, most tasteful onion, you know, and they're not over pungent, and they're not over aromatic as a lot of these onions are, and they're just, the taste is like, I call them like they're like the candy of the onion. They're just incredible. And so what did you do with like that crumb topping to get it, to give it that nice crunch?
Basically anything that's whole wheat, whole grain, something like that will work on top. For my purposes, I chose the whole wheat breadcrumbs that you can actually buy pre-seasoned with the Italian seasonings. And I think that adds a little bit of flavor to it, too. I like that option. But if you don't have that, you can definitely just, you know, use your own whole grain bread or whole wheat bread, whatever you choose, and put it in the food processor and crumb it up yourself. But then I also used mill flaxseed and wheat bran. And totally into adding mill flaxseed to anything. Anything, if I'm making a cake, if I'm making cookies, I will add mill flaxseed. I'll use it as the egg substitute, whatever it might be, because the omega-3s that you get from the flaxseed are awesome. And I'm not a fish eater, so particularly where I like to make sure that I get some of those omega-3s into my diet, I try to incorporate flax as often as possible. And then on top of that, the wheat bran is a new discovery of mine, and I'm actually thrilled that, you know, I read on the bag and it said toasted wheat bran, and I was like, that sounds good. I'm going to use some of that too.
And in fact, you actually turned me on to that as well, and I think I'll be using that as well in a couple of recipes too. So through your journey, you've actually kind of like, that was the other one. I was going to say, what are some of your other recreation favorites that you've been able to come up with? I mean, I already like that meatball and the green bean thing. I mean, that I'm definitely going to try. Have you ever done that? What is it? The spaghetti squash too, because that is really good too. Dr. Amon's wife's got a recipe for that, which I tried using the spaghetti squash, and that's amazing as well. It's really, really good.
I have had spaghetti squash, and I've had it over a stir fry before, and that was really good. I did enjoy that. My fear with the spaghetti squash with a red sauce is that it would fall apart. The fact that the green beans are actually, you know, they're shaped like a pasta in a lot of ways. They hold together.
Yeah.
They're firm. They're like the perfect texture. They effectively replace pasta and are way better for you and way more filling. So it's like it's a no-brainer for me. But other things that I've done, like I'll even sometimes use broccoli if that's what I have over my red sauce. I'll put red sauce on anything except maybe ice cream. But some other recipes that I've I always been thinking of different ways that I can make something healthy. I've made these flax oat bran little mini muffins before, and they call them like a breakfast muffin, and you basically use flax, oat bran, you use whole wheat flour, and I think that there's apples, there was raisins, just everything that's good. You know, if anything that has, you know, oat bran or anything like that, I try to make those too, because I like that they have like a nice texture to them. So I love baking. That seems to be my forte. Another thing that I made recently, you can find a video for this and the recipe on my blog, is pizza puffs. And they're these amazing little bites of dough that are made with whole wheat, and it's really simple. You just throw all the ingredients together, mix it all up, and bake them in the oven in a little mini muffin tin, and they come out bite-sized, and they taste just like a piece of pizza. And it's whole wheat, and you can use different things. Like I used peppers, and I used a little bit of skim mozzarella cheese, and I think you use like one egg or something like that. And you literally mix it all up, and then you put them in the little muffin tin, put a little dollop of sauce on top of each one, and then sprinkle a little bit of cheese on top of them, pop them in the oven for like 20 minutes, and they come out, and they're a great appetizer, and they're whole wheat and good for you. And then, you know, I come up with recipes randomly. It'll be, you know, I'll be sitting there, and I'll be like, I really want to make a cookie that's good for you and tastes good, and I will just I'll scour online again like I always do, and find a recipe and completely change it and use whole wheat, whatever I can to make it different, and I'll look up the different substitutions. You know, can you substitute applesauce in place of oil? Can you substitute the flaxseed in place of the egg? A lot of times if I'm looking at recipes, sometimes I try and think of ways that I can incorporate Greek yogurt instead of like a milk or something like that. So it really is like, it's up to you, and that's what I love about cooking and baking is you can transform anything and make it healthy. It doesn't have to be made the way that the recipe says. Even the recipes that I have, my green bean casserole, make it your own. You know what I mean? If you like mushrooms in it, please, by all means, add them. It's your taste buds. You're the one eating it. But that's the important thing is that you have to know the health reasons of why you should be eating the things you're eating, and then you'll be able to make those choices.
Exactly. Education is key. I mean, and that's what we'd want to stress to our listeners is that You know, if you feel daunted by nutrition, just start to go read and educate yourself, because, you know, there's a lot of foods out there that almost actually label as superfoods, and these foods can really, really have mega helpful benefits. Now, I know you've become a foodie, or as you like to call it, a food snob, as I have through our journeys. So how important do you think it is getting more healthy alternatives to be available on restaurant menus?
I cannot say this enough. It actually really irritates me when I go out to a restaurant, and this actually happened to me last night. I won't name the restaurant, but I will say that they have recently implemented a new menu that's supposed to be geared toward people who are on a diet. I looked at the menu, and I was kind of like, okay, this is not really good. They only really are basing it on less calories. Okay, fine. That just means small portions, whatever. But the problem that I'm seeing when I go out to restaurants is that people, like, automatically assume that their side is going to be a wheat or a starch, and it's going to be an abundance of those things. If I ask for example, last night, I didn't want to have rice. I wanted to have broccoli with what I was eating, chicken and a bunch of other, some tomatoes and stuff like that. So I said, can I have broccoli instead of rice? The first response I got was, oh, we don't usually substitute out the rice, but it's late, so we'll let you do that. I'm like, why not? I don't care if you're charging me more for it. It's what I want to eat. You know, if you're preparing this for me, like, it's on your menu that you have broccoli, it shouldn't be a problem. So that's fine. They bring out my dish, and it has 3 pieces of broccoli. I was floored. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. This is a side of broccoli? A side of broccoli should fill the whole plate. You know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't be 3 pieces of broccoli and then filling a plate with chicken and other stuff that you don't need as much of. The idea is that, you know, you need to put the emphasis on the right thing. And I think that there is a big misconception over what we need. It's based on what people think that they want, but if they actually knew what they were doing and why they were eating the things that they were eating, and the fact that if you're going to stuff your face with a bunch of, you know, pasta or rice or whatever it might be, like
starches,
potatoes or something.
All the time, yeah. It seems like everywhere you go in the restaurant menus. Yep, starch, this is bread, rice, noodles, red rice noodles, olives. And, you know, I'm so glad for people like, you know, I'm so glad for people like the Wu Food guys, these students from UMass that are actually started this program that they have, and that it's starting to be incorporated all over the city. We'll be talking about our favorite restaurant at the end here, but they are incorporated as well. And it just gives other people an opportunity. So even if you go to a restaurant, say like the Chop House or something, and you love to eat meat, like a lot of people do. I mean, Americans just got to have meat with everything, which is fine. But you should be able to substitute in helpful alternatives. And I think that's what their program is, and I think that you and I agree that that's something that should be changed. It should be, I mean, And like you say, if they want to charge you a little extra maybe for the substitution, that's fine as long as you know that you're getting something more helpful. Now, something that Kristen and I noticed when we were out in California, and something we really thought is something that we should actually, I don't know how we'd go about to get it done here in Massachusetts, but we loved that we went into restaurants and all the nutritional information was included right there on the menus. I mean, everything from your sugar count to your protein to the whole thing was there. We thought that was super because if you're talking about education and want people to get educated, what better way than to provide them with the nutritional information right there so they can make informed choices for themselves right off the bat by being able to see what's in that meal and then make an informed decision as to whether they want it or not. Do you agree?
I do to an extent. I think it's great that they would include that on the menu. I think it is important that it is included on the menu. But I think an important step for people to actually make use of that being on the menu is they need to know what it means. And that's another thing that has been, you know, coming up in the news recently is they're trying to revamp the nutrition labels and make them easier for people to read and everything like that by putting stuff up in the front that they need to know about. But if they don't actually know what they're consuming and they don't actually understand it, it's not going to matter. If you're eating a piece of bread that's 100 calories as opposed to a piece of bread that's 120 calories, now I didn't tell you anything about that. There's 20 calories difference. Say the 100-calorie one is white bread. The 120-calorie one is whole wheat bread or whole grain bread. There's a big difference there. You know what I mean? And I think there needs to be a lot more education in what your body needs to eat and what you need to consume and why it's important on a cellular level. And that's another thing is, like, you have to, as much as you might not know anything about science, it's not that hard to understand how your body needs to process food. It's really not. I'm not a scientist, and I can understand that the way that my body processes white processed food as opposed to something that's more natural is easy to understand if you do the research and you begin to understand it. And that's what I really think, that the educational aspect, the aspect of teaching people about their body, teaching people why they need food for fuel, not for pleasure. You can still eat for pleasure as long as it's something helpful. I eat for pleasure all day. I eat all day, and it's all good food.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to, you know, because people always think, well, something healthy is not going to be able to taste good. I'm telling you, I eat well, I eat healthfully, and it tastes good. I mean, I've got many, many roommates, and they look forward to me cooking because when I do, they know it's not only is it going to be healthy for them, but it's also going to taste awesome. And, you know, so many people always shy away from something being healthy because they think it's not going to taste good, and that's so not the case. And it doesn't have to be intricate and over, you know, so sophisticated either, because with good, healthy food, you can even keep it simple and just add a little bit of, you know, just certain things and make it taste really, really awesome. Now, I know in your recent blog you were talking about your healthy meal planning, how you like to plan out and for the things that you eat. You and I are kind of in the same way, in the same respect, that we kind of latched on to the certain things that work for us and we like it, so we eat them a lot, all the time. You know, I have my go-to breakfast. You know, I love my steel-cut oats. I love my Greek yogurt and fruit with granola. Just certain things that I just love to eat, and I eat them all the time. But why do you think it's imperative for you to do this, to make sure you, and anybody to do this, to do their healthful meal planning and plan it out, and how does it keep you on track in terms of your eating health?
It's funny because I never used to be a planner. Never. I would fly by the seat of my pants and just do whatever. I'd figure it out. But that was one thing that I learned fast. You can't do that because there's not going to be healthy options for you wherever you go. There's not. You're not going to get a healthy option at a rest stop unless you're eating peanuts, and you can't live off peanuts. You're not going to get a healthy option at a fast food place like a McDonald's or something. And, I mean, I guess you could get a salad, but it just, I read things about those salads, too, that aren't even good for you. So it's like,
I know.
Be in control of yourself. I know that the portions that I'm putting out for myself and the foods that I'm choosing for myself, because I've picked them up at the store, read the label, or I know exactly what it is. It's a vegetable, you know, or something like that. And there's never any guess. I don't have any stress. I don't feel anxious about, oh, no, where's my next meal coming from? And I kind of think, like, maybe it's partially from that whole survival mode thing back when we were, you know, Neanderthals or whatever, where we didn't know where our next meal was coming from. So we would gorge and eat a lot of food when we could, and that was it. Now it's like, well, I'm very regimented. I eat about 5 or 6 times a day. I get a lot of variety in my dinner. Dinner is always something different, which is good because that's where I need the variety, but it is a home-cooked meal. And again, it's mostly vegetables. And it's very important that I have my meal planned for the day so I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to wonder, like, oh, am I going to need to do something or be forced to eat something that I don't want to eat and I'm going to feel bad about it later and have guilt and then know that I ate something unhealthy. Now, if I make the choice to eat a piece of cake, or if I make the choice that I want to eat a cookie or something, I'm totally fine with it because, A, I know that it's not the best for me, but I'm doing it because I want to have a little bit of freedom in that. And then, B, it's like I know that I am in control of everything else that I'm eating, so I don't have the worry about it, you know. And
yeah.
I always drink.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I always kind of try to stress. I say if you're doing the right thing, like 85% of the time, you know. So in other words, if you're getting 80% or 80 to 85% vegetables and all the good things, you know, lean meat, lean protein, good carbs, your good fats and all that. Then, like you say, once in a while, if you want to have a piece of cake, or if it's your birthday and you want to have a brownie or whatever there is that is available, especially when we go out in a social situation, even having a cocktail once in a while. You know, if there's those kinds of situations, you don't feel that bad about doing it because you know that most of the time you're doing the right thing. So once in a while, if you do something like that, it's not going to make that big of a difference. As long as you're staying, healthful most of the time, yeah.
It forces you to be conscious of what you're eating too. When you have these planned out meals and everything, because you know what you're eating, you're conscious of.
You were talking about in your blog about being mindful, about how mindfulness is so pivotal in health and wellness. And so why don't you explain a little bit to our readers our listeners by what you mean by being mindful or mindfulness?
Part of my whole like health thing was I started to read a lot about Buddhism and meditation, and
right.
I read a book on neuroscience and how the study of Buddhism and neuroscience kind of correlate and psychology and all that stuff. It was an awesome book.
I said I've read a couple of those myself in my research.
I think we talked about this. You might have read the book that I read. And it just kind of opened my eyes to how being mindful in your everyday life and everything that you do is very important, not just in your food choices, but it will reflect in that as well. That's why they suggest, you know, doing a yoga regimen or something like that, because it forces you to center yourself in your thoughts and to realize that you have so many thoughts racing through your mind every single day that just happen that you don't have, like, they just flash by and you're not actually consciously aware of them. Or if you are, they're just fleeting, you know. And the same thing happens with eating. You're just eating mindlessly. You're not in control of what you're doing. Like, you don't pay attention to the fact that you've just eaten 13 cookies and you're almost done with the box and it's an hour later and your show is almost over, and then you look down and you're like, oh, that's a problem. Like, it's about, you know, being mindful and paying attention to your body, being in tune with your body, and being aware of all the choices that you're making in your life. Like I said, at the time when I was losing weight, when I first started doing all this stuff, I was in a really bad place, like, emotionally and everything. And I really just, I needed a whole health overhaul. And it needed to start from the ground up. It needed to start from diet. It needed to start from exercise. It needed to start from a new mental pattern. And
encompasses those three phases that I always love to talk about, and people talk about it all the time, that homeostasis thing, that mind, body, spirit. You really need an overhaul of all three if you want to talk about optimum wellness and health. I mean, I think it's imperative. Quantum wellness, as I like to kind of phrase it as well.
I like that.
You should watch Quantum Activist.
It's a great documentary.
Yeah, I haven't, but I think I will. I think it's imperative that you work on all three of those phases because each one is an important step, because I know, and you and I agree, again, when we talk about the mind and not only just being mindful of not only what you eat and how you chew it and how you enjoy it, and you know, think about why you're eating it, which is another good thing to do. But you also want to work on the whole aspect of and I want to talk about religion on a whole, but I know that like using meditation for me, like you're talking about the fleeting thoughts and all these thoughts going through, that's one of the things that I think is imperative, is, and Dr. Amen talks about it as well, that you even if it's 10 minutes or even if it's 15 minutes a day, where you kind of slow yourself down, you do yourself some breathing, you kind of try to excavate or vanquish most of those thoughts out, and then just try to center, like you said, with like yoga, you try to center your soul, your mind again. Try to refocus, because you know, I know that's helped me in a lot of ways. But I've even gotten to the point where it depends on what kind of exercise I'll be doing. I'll even do that kind of the meditation as well. It really helps you. It helps you focus. It helps you regroup. You know, and in this day in society with stress and everything that goes on, I mean, stress plays a big role in overeating as well. You know, we are starting this time frame of year, the holiday season, where we got the families get together, and there's that added stress. And you know, we are social beings; we use food as a social mechanism, but we got that added stress. And of course, in these times of the economy and everything, all this extra added stress, and we turn to food sometimes to console ourselves. And like you said, again, be mindful that that our food is fuel, and even though it should be pleasurable, it shouldn't be a tool to forget. You know, I mean, you see it all the time. You reach for the gallon of ice cream, and then you like you said, you turn around and it's or the pint is gone, and then you're like, wow, what happened there, you know? So you have discovered, as I have also in our nutritional research, about the importance that water plays, probably almost the most important role of, I think, in all our paths to optimum wellness and health. So give us a brief synopsis of why drinking our... Of course, a lot of people have different quantities. I kind of always go by like the 50 ounces or so of what I like to call the liquid nutrient, because that's exactly what it is. It's so vital to our health. Explain to people why that is and why it's so important for us.
So when I was doing my internet scouring and research, I was reading something about water, and it was telling me an article about what your body uses water for. Now, you always hear the saying, you know, you're whatever, 80% water, or however much your body is composed of water, the majority of it. And, right. You know, it's just in one ear and out the other. It doesn't really register. You don't really understand it. And then I read this article, and it kind of clicked, and it had been partially the whole, as I mentioned, your body needs these foods and everything on a cellular level. Cellular. Like, this is, you know, we're made up of millions and millions of cells. And our body, every cell needs water to synthesize. It needs water to do its work for your skin, for your organs, for your tissue, for your brain tissue, for your blood, for your nerves, for everything. It needs water. And when you're eating food, it needs to be able for your body to utilize the nutrients in the food that you're eating, you need water. So basically, when you're eating all those green beans from your delicious green bean casserole a la Choose Balance, it is important to drink water with it, because the water is going to be the catalyst that synthesizes and uses those micronutrients. And if you don't have enough water in your body, it's not going to be able to process everything as efficiently as it needs to. So to keep your body efficiently running like a well-oiled machine, you need water. It's like giving gas to your car. If you want to go somewhere, you need gas. you need to put gas in your car. You can't run on empty and run on fumes because your car won't function. And it's the same thing with water. Food, yeah, it's a fuel, but at the same respect, for it to optimize that fuel, you need the water too. It goes hand in hand. So food and water are your fuel. You know, the water is the main component, and there's something about, you know, what was that? There's research, whatever the study is, that you can live on water for so long, and you can, you know, you can live without food for so long as you have water, because the water is really, you know, what is burning the nutrients and everything in your body. So it's important, and I think, you know, it's not, I had this discussion with my father fairly recently, and I asked him, how much water are you drinking? He had his hips replaced, and he had some, like, issues and whatever, so he told me, oh, you know, I drink, like, 8 ounces here and then 8 ounces there. I'm like, really? That's all the water that you're drinking in a day? Do me a favor. Take a big jug of water with you and drink it, like, all day long. I buy 2 liters of water, like, every week, and I just refill them constantly, and I have 2 liters a day with me. Whether I drink the 2 liters or not, I actually always try and manage to drink at least one, if not more, into the second one. But I always have 2 liters of water with me, and if I'm sitting at my desk and I realize, oh, I haven't drank a lot of water today, I will take the bottle out and chug, like, a lot of it. And especially after I eat or before I eat, I try to drink a good substantial amount of water. And, you know, you'll see on, like, the websites and articles and whatever, like, fill your stomach up with water before you start eating. It'll keep you fuller longer. I don't believe any of that stuff. I honestly think that they say that in, like, layman's terms so that people, like, are tricked into drinking more water because they think they're going to eat less food or something. Think of it like if you drink a lot of water before or after you eat something, it's going to actually make your body be able to use what you're eating, you know, and I think that's the important part of it, not the fact that it's going to just fill your stomach up volume-wise.
Yeah, I know, even like when I exercise, like when I'm on the bike for an hour, hour and a half, I literally will consume a liter of water while I'm exercising. Because, yeah, I'm sweating out, and I need to put it back in because, you know, you're depleting your body. You're sweating out, you know, and sweat always is removing toxins. So you're always getting rid of the toxins as you're sweating the stuff out. But then you got to put that and replenish that water back in, and it is vital. It's absolutely vital in our optimum health. So now we get back to our maybe my favorite and probably your favorite restaurant in the area here in Worcester, Evo. I have to thank Kristen because the first time I even come up here, before I even moved up here, we ended up going there because her next-door neighbor is fully into organics and gluten-free and all this and that. And so we're sitting around the table one day, and I was like, well, you know, she totally is into what I'm into and healthy eating and all that. And she said, well, you got to go to Evo. And I was like, what is Evo? And they're like, well, it's this restaurant. I my favorite restaurant, you got to go there because they use a lot of good organic foods, and they it's very nutritionally sound menus, and it's really good. So first tell the listeners about the actual restaurant, being that you go there a lot. And then maybe also talk about their partnering store, Living Earth, and also maybe tell us some of your favorite menu items that keep you coming back for more.
I love Evo. You're going to make me hungry thinking about it.
I know, me too. In fact, Kim was talking to me, that's her husband. He was telling me that they have an incredible Kobe beef burger there.
Oh, my God. My boyfriend just devoured one last Saturday.
Oh, we see. And I haven't had because I don't eat beef a lot anymore because it's got to be, you know, it's got to be good. So I usually don't, well, I won't go to the store or get beef or anything because I know what factory beef is, how bad it is for you, so I don't touch it. But when he was talking, we were at a football game for Kristen's son, and then he says, like, you've got to go get that Kobe beef burger there. So that's my next target. So as soon as I get paid, I'm definitely going to go there and pair that up. I know one of my favorite is the Tuscany avocado salad. Have you ever had that?
I haven't. I actually can't eat avocados.
Oh, that's right. You told me that. That's right. Yeah, it's like a grilled half of an avocado, and they did it on an organic baby spinach with, like, sautéed red onion and roasted red peppers. Oh, gosh. And then they do a reduction, like a balsamic vinaigrette reduction sauce on it. And it's so awesome because they reduce it. It's almost like chocolate sauce when they finally do it. It's just incredible. It's just so mouthwatering. But what are some of your favorite menu items there?
I love Evo because it really is kind of an inspired place for dining. They have Mediterranean, they have Asian inspired, they have American, they have pizza, they have sandwiches, they have everything that anyone would ever want. If you want a pizza, you can get it on a gluten-free or a whole wheat crust, which is awesome, that option. It's happening more and more in restaurants, but the fact that, you know, you can get a good pizza with local organic ingredients is awesome. And then also I love, like, anything. I like to go to, like, a lot of Asian-themed restaurants because they're actually, of the majority of the restaurants that I go to, they're the best ones that actually cater more towards having a good heaping portion of veggies. It doesn't happen very often, but places
menus,
like that.
Asian restaurants, you can find it.
Yeah, so I like that, and I like the Mediterranean. I'm a big fan of Mediterranean food as well. My favorite menu item is the Asian stir fry, and I just love it because it's a really light soy sauce or teriyaki sauce, and it's all sodium-free. I think it's sodium-free, whole, like, fresh. And the chicken, it's funny because, you know, you were saying about the Kobe beef burger, but the chicken actually tastes good. Like, it doesn't have a bland flavor like you'd find in, like, a store-bought piece of chicken. The chicken has a distinctive flavor, and I think it's the fact that it's organic,
really,
like,
I had a chicken sandwich there or something, and it was to die for. I was like, I mean, it had flavor, and it was, and it's, you know what it also is? They have a certain, they use their own house seasoning for their chicken, and I don't know what it is. I swear I want to go back in the kitchen and try to find out what it is. But it's, whatever it is incredible. It is just mouth-watering. It's just unbelievable. They're great cooks. They do, and like you said, I haven't tried the pizza yet, but Kristen says it's really good too. And they even have Mexican. I mean, you can get I had the quesadillas, which are really good with the organic black beans and all that stuff. The place is awesome. And tell them a little bit about that partnering store there, Living Earth, as well.
The Living Earth has been there for quite some time. I actually was first introduced to that probably like 4 or 5 years ago from a friend in high school. It was kind of funny. Me and my friend, my best friend, we always would be like, oh, let's go here, let's go here. So finally we were like, to our other friend, you need to surprise us and take us somewhere fun. So he decided to take us to the Living Earth Cafe, which unfortunately the cafe portion is no longer there, but I think it actually is kind of what has turned into Evo. And that was when I first was exposed to this place, and I didn't at the time really, you know, I wasn't as informed as I am now to be able to appreciate it, but I'm pretty sure I had homemade baba ganoush, and it was so good. I had never had that before, and from that point on, I always knew this little hole in the wall, like, really great place existed in Worcester, and I thought it was awesome. I was just like, this is so cool, because you think Worcester City, and trust me, if you're from Worcester, you would not expect that to be at that location.
it's got a nice little healthy store there where you can get a lot of health-inspired products that you normally probably wouldn't be able to find in your normal supermarket. I know I go there for exclusive things like I love the, because I'm like you, I don't eat a lot of bread. So if I do eat, I love to eat the Scandinavian flatbread. know, that has no yeast in it, and it's just 100% whole grains. You usually get like something like 14 to 18 grams of whole grains in a serving of this flatbread, and I get it there. I love that they have a great selection of good natural mineral waters as well. Sometimes you can't find all those at a normal grocery store. Obviously, they got some good organic produce, but they also have some of those things that you normally can't find in a, say, like a Shaw's or something like that, and they got specialty products as well. They got great organic chocolate, which I love, the dark chocolate, anything over 70%, I just love that stuff. They got a lot of, they even have a lot of stuff that's actually like made by local people. I know they have the local honey. They've got a lot of different sauces that seem to be made by local people that are health-based kind of things. It's a great little place, but obviously the restaurant, they've taken that restaurant to a great level. It's one of the, in fact, when Dr. Amen was rolling through, he went out to Kripalu. It was the first time he actually went out to see him. We tried to get him to stop, and he and his wife to have lunch there with us, but they were too much in a rush, and we couldn't get him to go. But if he does come back through there, I would definitely want to take him there, because that's one of those places that he would definitely enjoy. So I want to end up the night with you and talk about, because I love this, I was going all the way through your blog, and I got to that you did that Dave Letterman inspired top 10 list of the top 10 reasons not to get healthy, which I thought was really good. I got a really good kick out of it. I listened to the sound bite, the video thing, but then I also kind of copied down the text. So I wanted to go through them. Do you know them by heart? Or if not, I got them.
I don't know them by heart. You're going to have to read them.
Okay, so I got them. I will. So you started, it says, top 10 reasons not to get healthy. So obviously, like David Letterman, he always starts with 10. He starts with 10 and works his way to 1. I'll just tell you all out there right now, my favorites are number 4 and number 1. I like both of those. But let's start with number 10. Number 10. You like the added insulation on your body for the winter months, probably appropriate now, but and fall and spring and summer, which I thought was kind of cute. Number 9, you can't be bothered with worrying if you will be alive in 10 years. Spend the money you're working towards saving for your future, which I like. Number 8, it's much cheaper to spend $10 on a convenience meal than $4 on a home-cooked meal. And I mean, that's a great one, too, because, you know, there's so many people that always say, well, eating and cooking at home is just as expensive and stuff. But you know what? I, in fact, like to eat a lot of organic stuff and whatever. And I'm telling you, you still can eat cheaper by making yourself a home-cooked meal at home.
Yep.
And
portion by portion, it is much cheaper.
It is. Number 7. You'd much rather savor some delicious chemicals and fillers than gnaw on an apple. I kind of agree with that one as well. Number 6, it is much faster to get in a car, drive to a fast food joint, wait in line, order a meal, come back home and eat, than to plan ahead and have something ready to eat when you're hungry. That's absolutely actually true, and obviously you're kind of poking fun at it, because, I mean, by the time you have to do all that, you could have already been at home and already eating, so
yep.
That was a good one. Number 5, energy and motivation to achieve things on your to-do list is far too overrated. And that's another thing that really helped me, and I really noticed that, like, within the first 3 months of my journey. When I started eating that, because I relied a lot on raw foods to begin with, again, for the nutritional value, the nutrients that you get, they're super packed if you eat them raw. Like raw broccoli, raw baby spinach, all that stuff. I'm telling you, the energy and the extra willpower and the motivation that the actual food gave me was amazing. It was just incredible. So I love that one, too. Number 4, here's one of my favorites. Number 4, you might have to stop taking meds and going to the doctor so much. After all, the doctors need to make a living, too, right? And it's so true, because I was on 10 meds, and now I'm down to just 3, and I'm just about to go to 2, and then hopefully within another year, I probably won't be on any at all. So, I mean, if you love taking pills, you know, if you love taking pills, yeah, keep eating like crap. But if you'd really like to, like, stop having to be on pills and actually maybe have some of your conditions actually, and, you know, a lot of these conditions that people are taking pills for are lifestyle related. So, you know, if you started thinking about that and thinking that nutrition plays a big part in your lifestyle, you might actually start to be able to reverse and cure some of these. Number 3, I always thought confident, happy people were cocky a-holes anyway. I like that one. That's pretty cute. Number 2, I'm already on a diet. It's called a low self-esteem diet. Well, yeah, I used to be on that diet. I don't know about you, but I was there. And the number 1 reason not to get healthy, and this is my second favorite, is disease just tastes so good. And actually, it really doesn't, you know. And I, gosh, when I think about now, it's 2 years ago and how sick and all the diseases that I had and how bad I felt, I wish I could, you know, I wish I could have people that still have all those conditions that I had feel like I feel right now. That's why I'm doing what I do now.
I know, exactly what you mean. Like, I wish I could implant into someone's brain all the knowledge that I have, but you can't do it for them. So you need to have them organically discover it on their own. And this is why, like, our talks are important, because we need to have people to get the motivation to really go out and discover this for themselves and have it click in their brain so that they can actually feel what it's like to feel good.
That's true. And it will have a ripple effect, because you influence the people around you. You're influencing your family and your friends by what you're doing. I do the same thing. And those people learn it. They start practicing it. They have success. And then they start influencing their families and friends as well. And you know what? If it just keeps going that way, we might actually start something that just, I mean, it is continuing. And it is starting. I mean, you see it in the grocery stores. You see it's starting to become more prevalent, and hopefully it just keeps going the way that we hope it's going to be going, and hopefully shows like Big Dreams will be able to influence people in a positive way in a lot of people. And so, again, we want to thank you, Carrie Quinlan, from Choose Balance. Please go to her website. Check out her blog. There's some really great stuff there at www.choosebalance.com. You're also on Twitter, right?
Yes.
And Choose what's Balance the Twitter address?
Twitter.
There you go. And Facebook as well?
Yep, just search Choose Balance on Facebook.
Well,
and I have links to those on my blog as well.
Cool. Excellent. And again, thank you for joining us. And you, all you people out there, check our Big Dreams websites as well, Facebook, Big Dreams TV, Twitter, Big Dreams Reality, Twitter is Real Big Dreams, and Big Dreams Reality on YouTube as well. Also, check out our Indiegogo site. We've got a fundraising campaign right now trying to turn our show into a reality. We've got a lot of good merchandise available for a donation. You can get things like bracelets, T-shirts, hooded sweatshirts, and even some autographed books. And other stuff available at Indiegogo.com/, it's all capital letters, Big-Dreams-2. So if you want to do and check that out and make a donation, we'll be glad to send you the merchandise that you get. And we thank you again, Carrie, for joining us. And as always, no problem. And, again, I'd like to always say peace and love plus health equal harmony. And you folks have a good and healthy weekend. And we will stay tuned. I want you to stay tuned and check out next Monday's webisode. We'll be posting it up on our pages and YouTube as well. And you'll all have a good evening and good night.